This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin our number two. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. Our closer getting ready to get back on the road. Jensen Lewis, you are a traveling man. Again, UNC, that's the destination for Friday?
Yep. We'll head out today. Stop through your old stomping grounds there in Washington, D.C. to connect, and then we'll head down there. Here's the deal. Super regionals, for people that don't know, best of three. And so if either a team wins those first two games, that's it. That's over, and that team will punch their ticket to Omaha. Winner take all would be TBA sometime on Sunday there. And then I'll be out with the crew, the VSiN crew out in Omaha next week. And then I think I finally get a little respite from traveling. I get to sleep in my own bed for a while.
You never know. They might just call you back and say, we need you to do the College World Series. You just never know, Jensen.
And it's fine.
Keep that phone
they
right there.
I'm ready.
Let's get to it. Hour number two, highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It's a bold strategy, Nix. Let's see how it works out for him. So, running on empty is an apropos headline here. Tom Thibodeau has been shown the door after five seasons as the head coach of the New York Knickerbockers. And think about this. You take the Knicks as far as they've gotten in 25 years in the great city that never sleeps, and you get shown the door. A bit surprised. I'm not surprised anymore because, Jensen, this just seems to be the way the NBA goes, and I know it's going to be the mantra of, like, Tibbs got us as far as he can get us, so let's go get somebody else to get us over the line. It did work. I guess you can make the equivalency of Mark Jackson in Golden State, and then Steve Kerr was the guy that, I mean, we have seen examples of this, but you've seen the other examples too, where maybe Tibbs was the right guy, and then you're actually going to take a step back. I look at this team, and I go, they didn't lose because Tibbs was the head coach, in my humble opinion. What is your opinion of this move by the Knicks?
Again, questionable for the timing just because of, as you said, what recently transpired this season and kind of where the crescendo felt for the organizational momentum. That being said, here we are. We're moving on. I know there have been names that have been brought up. Michael Malone, Mike Budenholzer, Frank Vogel. Jay Wright was an interesting one.
Oh,
I got to tell you, and I worked in TV for a long time. He looks like he is enjoying himself, stress-free, can wear his suits again, can call a handful of games. I cannot imagine he would want to come out of that job with CBS and want any of the scrutiny, to me, it would be the only way you do that is the one last thing to check off your coaching to-do list or bucket list is to try and win an NBA title. Now, I don't know if that was ever an aspiration for Jay Wright, and I get the whole Villanova connection with Hart and Brunson and Mikal Bridges that are currently on the roster. You tell me, Dave. I just cannot see how Jay Wright ends up, and even with a boatload of money in his career, he's cushy enough. So I don't think that's an option. So that being said, would you rather, if you had to pick right now, I give you the three options. I give you Michael Malone. I give you Mike Budenholzer. I give you Frank Vogel. Who are you taking right now?
I'd probably go with the Malone route. Now, again, Malone, though, is going to give off Tibbs vibes. They kind of feel like the same type dude. They're going to run you into the ground. I mean, this is what Malone did with the starters in Denver. He's going to ride his guys, right? And what was the knock this year? Is that, Jokic looks tired. They were playing him too many minutes. I mean, if that is the complaint, and this is the fireable offense by Tibbs in New York, that he trusted his guys too much, his starters, and he worked them too. The only guys I didn't hear complain about that were guys like Jalen Brunson. I heard everybody else complain about it, that they got overworked. I never heard Jalen Brunson complain about it. So maybe that's the issue, but I don't know that Malone would be any different from that. So, like, to me, yep, if you could get a Jay Wright, it'd be a home run hire. But I'm with you. I don't think Jay Wright wants to do it. What I did find very interesting is that on social media, and this is what social media does, you got to watch out for where the sources come from on X. because NBA Centel, not Central, Centel, they tweeted out yesterday that the Knicks are reportedly interviewing Stephen A. Smith to be the next head coach, which prompted, got to give kudos to Stephen A. It prompted Stephen A. to tweet at NBA Centel.
Oh, no.
A gif of himself looking at them side-eye saying, Centel. So basically saying, this is not real information. You're making it up. But have you ever gone gif of yourself? It'd be like Jensen Lewis putting a gif of Jensen Lewis on X in response to something on X. Like that is next level Stephen A., and I did not see that coming.
That sounds like Stephen A. being Stephen A. or Stephen A. doing Stephen A. things.
But we don't believe he's really up for the Knicks job, right? He's not up for the Knicks job.
No. Hey, he's got a better chance to be. He's got a better chance to run for president than he does to get the Knicks job.
All right. So, do we want to go with Michael Malone, Frank Vogel, Jay Wright, or a guy that might run for president? Welcome to New York Knicks offseason, everybody. Buckle up. That's what you're going to get. Buckle up if you're betting against the Rockies these days. Winners of two straight. What? Yes, they can go for the sweep today down there in South Beach against the Fightin' Fish. They win this one last night 3-2. They beat Sandy, who was on the bump here for the Marlins a day ago. Jensen, 11 wins now. Again, their win total for this month was 9.5. I did not play it. Had I played it, I would have been like, you got to be kidding me. They've already got two wins in the bank when they had 9 wins coming into the first 2 months of the season, and they've already won twice here in the month of June. Is this, can you spin it any way of like, we're starting to figure this thing out, or is this just two good days down in Miami?
Two good days in Miami, for sure. It's the right team that they're playing, the Marlins, at the right time. You kind of look at where this matchup sets up today, and Cal Quantrill going for the Marlins and Kyle Freeland going for the Rockies. I just kind of wanted to look at some updated data for us here. I mean, the fact that you've got the Rockies now all the way down to plus $1.30 in some places. I know plus 131 there at Circa. I mean, dare I say respect in the marketplace?
Wow.
It's even kind of funny to say out loud, hey, these guys are getting some respect, but again, it's the Marlins. So, hey, buyer beware, do what you like. Not probably touching this game whatsoever. So, have fun for a matinee and in front of tens of tens. Uh-huh. I would love to know what the actual paid attendance will be at Marlins Park this afternoon.
Feels like another friends and family game only. Maybe relatives can bat if this one gets out of hand before it gets late innings. One is the loneliest number, as Brandon Valesky, our producer, pointed out. For Boston, oh my goodness. They lose again, 4-3. That's not really the story in extras here. It's that they have 34 losses on the year. Jensen, 17 of said losses are by one solo run. That is a bit of bad luck. And again, we look for regression sometimes. Sometimes you get some positive, you would think, for the Red Sox to go the other way here. What do you make of a team that by June 4th has lost half of their games by nary a run?
Well, first of all, it's late game execution. That's one part of it. It's also, potential bullpen faltering. And I just wanted to pull up what the Red Sox overall bullpen numbers were to date here. Because again, depending on opponents, depending on, time of year, it could differ. And actually, when you look at the Red Sox bullpen, it's a top 10 bullpen ERA. They're 11th in whip. They're 11th lowest walks per nine, 11th fewest hits per nine allowed, fourth fewest homers per nine allowed. So the bullpen's actually been pretty good. Offensively, to me, it's those late game situations where you haven't executed with runners in scoring position. And we look at those kind of figures when it comes down to August and September too, where boy, if half those, think about that, Dave, if half those games go the Red Sox way, they're probably in second place in the division, maybe four games out, maybe even three games out behind the Yankees. Like that's your difference. It's a difference of a week. Oof. In the standings. That in of itself is a difference between making the playoffs and missing the playoffs.
So 29-34, again, 16-16 at home. And what kind of stuns me here, when you look at that 17 losses by one run, right now at DraftKings, could I interest you in laying $1.25 that the Red Sox win at least 80 games? 80 or more regular season games with that kind of, I don't want to say bad luck, because you're right, a lot of that can be execution too. You got to take some ownership, Boston, for losing all of those one-run games. Is that something you might be interested in, that they can at least, they don't have to get to 500, but they can get to 80 wins, and then we know the Sox can cash that ticket?
I think they can. Even without Bregman, they still have almost a top five offense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're going to get probably Roman Anthony at some point this year. So you'll have Marcelo Meyer, you'll have Christian Campbell, and you'll have Roman Anthony, the big three of their top prospects that'll eventually be up all at the same time. Can they get enough starting pitching to stay above water? What a stretch they have coming up here. We'll find out a lot about them. They got to go to the Bronx this weekend. Then they come home against the Red Hot Rays, and then they get the Yankees at home again. So big 10-day stretch for them.
Yeah, and again, I'm not trying to get on Alex Cora, because as we mentioned off the top of the show in hour number one, had an opportunity there to come home on a ground ball with bases juiced. They went around the horn, 5-4-3 double play, gave up the lead. The offense couldn't get it done, and here we are again, another one-run loss. VSiN fans, we appreciate you out there. You want to play Circus Survivor or the Millions Contest for free? You've got an opportunity with our friends over at Winner's Circle Proxy. They're giving away a $1,000 entry to each contest plus full proxy service for one lucky winner. And get this, you're going to be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. All you have to do is go to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We're going to break down the beginning of the Stanley Cup Finals coming up next with Paul Caponigre. He's going to join us here in the next segment. So getting ready for that puck drop tonight north of the border. And Jensen, it's going to be emotional for the playing of the national anthems. Like, this has become a thing now, but for Canada,
yeah,
when you haven't won the cup since 1993... And you got the RBC Heritage Open going on this weekend for the Canadian Open as well. It's like a big week for Canada.
Not only that, but if they don't win game one tonight, The Edmonton Oilers, what is the pressure like on Canada as a whole? Because, you know, Florida has just kind of been there like, hey, you got to come take it from us. So let's see. A lot of emotion tonight north of the border, that's for sure.
And I will make tariff jokes on X, so don't be offended, yeah. People. It's just jokes. Let's get to it today with today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Now, we've seen so far great starts in a couple of big markets, obviously in New York and Chicago. Jensen, you've got a play out there that possibly at plus money might be something to look at?
All right, so we'll play a little game of take it or leave it here this morning. So I put together a couple of futures parlays for people to think about just based off of performances thus far. So the Yankees and the Cubs parlayed together to each earn a first-round bye. This is via FanDuel, plus 229. Not a crazy, you know, odds idea to think about. Yankees right now, I believe, are like minus $4 in the American League to get a first-round bye along with Detroit. And then the Cubs are a little plus money because right now the Mets and the Dodgers are our favorite to get the top two seeds. But I thought that was fascinating. Let me also throw a parlay of current division leaders. So as it stands right now, Dave, if you think it holds and all six of the current division leaders stand pat and win their respective divisions, that's almost 10-1 if you think that's there. And then I would be remiss if I don't mention your Mets. So the best record in the National League, the New York Mets, best record in the American League, Detroit Tigers.
Ooh.
If you take that World Series exacta right now, it's almost 25-1. Any of those you'd like to take or leave?
I don't hate the parlay of the current division leaders. The reason why I say that is, now again, where it could get dicey, obviously, is in the NL East, in the AL West. Now, Are the others dead? Are they done? Right? Is the Central done? Is Detroit going to run away with this thing? Chicago Cubs, are they going to run away with this thing? I'm not thoroughly convinced of that. I still am convinced that the Dodgers are going to win the West, as good as the Padres and Giants can be. We'll see if Arizona has a run in them at some point. I do still feel pretty confident about that. And I do feel pretty confident that the Yankees are going to win the East in the American League. But that is intriguing to me, because I do think if they stay close and you have that almost 10-1 ticket in pocket, then maybe down the stretch you could look for game scenarios to hedge off of if it's a Mets late season game against the Phillies or something like that, right, Jensen? That if you get five of those home and there's only one that's still up in the air at the end, there might be a way to monetize that 936 ticket.
I'm really fascinated just from a division race standpoint. I know we've talked a lot about, where the National League East could be just with the Phillies right now, and the Mets are both even money on DraftKings to win that. And Atlanta at 12-1, if you still have any belief in them, that would be a way to go. Outside of that, really the American League West is the only one from an odds perspective that's anywhere close. Astros -$1.05. Mariners +$1.30, even with the Mariners leading the division right now. So just an intriguing idea, a little take it or leave it for you this morning on Daily Diamond.
All right, very quickly before we move on, I want to ask you this, because you mentioned right off the top there the Yankees and the Cubs. And my brethren in when I lived in Chicago for 8 years, their biggest consternation was sometimes they don't act like a big market team. The Yankees do, the Dodgers do. That luxury tax, for people that are not aware of it, of course you can exceed it. You're going to get taxed, as we're kidding about taxes. The first year you go over that luxury tax is 20%. Second year is 30%. Third consecutive year or more is a 50% luxury tax. Have teams like the Dodgers just said, screw it? We don't care about the tax. We're going to keep paying it every year. Do you like that from teams, or do you think there should be a system that evens out this playing field a little bit more?
Well, it has, and that fourth level was deemed the Steve Cohen tax. Mm. That's $301 million, in which there are three teams over that right now. That'd be the Yankees, the Mets, and the Dodgers. Dodgers just in a whole other realm, and they don't care.
They don't care.
Because they have a printing press named Shohei Ohtani. So that basically pays for everything and then some. So that's kind of where you are. But again, that goes back to revenue share. The tax bill right now, just for people out there wanting to know, for the Dodgers, $156 million. That's the tax bill. $156 million. There are seven teams right now as of this year that will have some sort of tax. The lowest team, the team with the least amount to pay, is the Red Sox at $1.5 million. Padres $10 million, Toronto $10 million, Philly $36 million, Yankees $50 million, and the Mets $74 million.
Their tax is going to be more than some of the full team's payrolls. I mean, it's insane.
Yep.
But that's where we are. Always fascinated on whether the level of balance, I feel like they've got it right. They're trying to even that out with that luxury tax in Major League Baseball. Speaking of, not going to be a surprise then when you look at the top team here for maybe the best regular season win-loss record, and it's going to be the Dodgers for that very reason, right? They're going to pay for the best players, and right now it's showing itself on the field.
I just happened to take this just for a conversation purpose here. You know, the Dodgers were, I think you could have gotten them upwards of $3 favorites at the beginning of the year for the best regular season records, down to $1.45. Obviously, Tigers' best record in all of baseball right now, +450. The Mets at +650, I thought was an intriguing price, just knowing how well they've played. Cubs at 11-1, probably outside looking in, and then two absolute lottery tickets, but just recent form and just knowing how they usually can close with their starting pitching assets. If there's any semblance of hotness with the Blue Jays and the Rays, boy, what a sweat that would be. And somehow the Rays end up coming at 400. Again, I don't advise these. It was just an intriguing number, and I thought I'd mention it.
Yeah, I would look to the Tigers maybe at +450 if they're going to stay on this path that they're on. Maybe the Dodgers, it's a little bit of a tougher division, obviously, top to bottom. But just watching that Dodger game last night against my Metropolitans, and you can't get them out. You know, Edwin Diaz wasn't available yesterday. You got to go to your backup closers. Can't get it done. That lineup, it's just so deep top to bottom, as we know. It gets back to that luxury tax conversation there. That's probably why you're seeing them at $1.45. We mentioned that you're going to be on the move again for the Super Regionals. Jensen, tell us what numbers and some teams that you're looking at here.
All right. I just titled it, It's going to be a movie. And that's kind of the way it's been already for the tournament. So I just put together some ideas for people. If you don't want to do the individual games, maybe you have some conference alignments here. So these are series favorite parlays. So Auburn favorite to win their series, their super regional. Arkansas the same over Tennessee. Get you about a 2-to-1 payout if you want to take the SEC favorites. The ACC favorites with Louisville, Duke, Florida State, and North Carolina, 4-to-1. Not bad. Mm. And then if you think the bracket gets completely busted, and I only left Florida State out as the because they're basically a $1.15 favorite just alongside Oregon State. So you take the seven other super regional underdogs for the series price and you put them all together, that's 1,300-to-1. I mean, it's not happening, but it'd be fun. Well, it'd be great for our show.
kind of a theme of our show. We love the chaos. We kind of root for the chaos. It makes it a little bit more intriguing here. But do you think that we're going to get some of the bigger boys in return to form there? As you mentioned, maybe that SEC Auburn Arkansas at plus $1.98. Do you think that that's going to start to come back, or could we see more chaos like we saw early?
I think there's an immense amount of pressure on Auburn because they match up against Coastal Carolina, and Coastal Carolina has been ridiculously hot this year. So I think that is a fascinating regional. Arkansas and Tennessee, you'll get one SEC team into Omaha at least there. But that, you talk about two teams that absolutely hate each other. That is going to be a fascinating series. And then, you know, the Louisville-Miami-Florida series, Miami-Florida, he's actually come on very strong here at the end of the year, but Louisville, one of the most dynamic teams in the ACC. So the ACC will have at least one representative in there. And then Cinderella remains alive. Murray State has to go to Durham to take on Duke. UTSA is going to go in to take on Big Ten juggernaut UCLA. I put that in air quotes. What a fascinating weekend it's going to be in super regional play.
Now, you'll be down there in North Carolina here on Friday for that coverage on ESPN. We're also going to be hitting the road here at VEASAN, and you're going to be back on the road again, Jensen. June 12th to the 14th, special editions of Money Moves and Follow the Money. Of course, we will be there. You're going to be there for us here on VEASAN by the Books, live from the famous Rocco's restaurant there in Omaha, Nebraska, the home of the Jell-O shot right there. And again, depending on the time of day, Jensen might actually have a shot after the show. After the show, people. So we're road tripping here. Of course, this is sponsored by Circa. We're fascinated. It's going to be fascinating to be there as a network out there in Omaha. Come on by and say hi if you're out there in Omaha.
You're tuned in to VEASAN by the Books right here on VEASAN.
We continue VEASAN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here on a Wednesday. We've been waiting and waiting like Ted Knight and Caddyshack. Well, we're waiting. And finally, we're going to drop the puck tonight. Game one Stanley Cup Finals north of the border in Edmonton for Florida and Edmonton. Should be a really good rematch. I don't know how people feel about rematches, but this is one that I'm certainly intrigued by. Always love catching up with our next guest. Paul Caponigri joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow as I do at Cappy27. And we'll get to Paul here in just 1 second here, Jensen. But that anticipation of rematches, and again, sometimes in sports, we don't like them for whatever reason. Like when the Patriots would go to multiple Super Bowls, we go, get somebody else in there. What's your feelings about that? Chiefs going to three straight. I don't think it's necessarily bad for hockey. If it's a, I think you play it up, Canada, USA. Why not have some fun with this thing? Do you mind the rematch side of this whole thing here in the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, no problems for me. And I would just ask people that do that, like, who would you rather have in there?
Right.
And don't we play the playoffs to have an opportunity to crown the champion who we believe is the best champion? You know, Cinderella here and there happens, but ultimately the best of the best, you know, come towards the top. And so, you know, I would just ask people, would you rather see, you know, I know who would rather see a Stars Hurricanes final, or seeing producer Brandon Valesky would love to see that. But it's the macro argument of, this is why we crown a champion. When you play the best, you deserve an opportunity to hoist the trophy. And that's what we have here again.
Meritocracy, baby. Paul Kaepernick joins us now here on That Progressive Guest Line. Paul, what are your thoughts on this, on the rematch, right? Like, I'm excited to see what happens tonight and see if Canada can kind of break that streak since 1993. Like, rematches shouldn't be bad at the highest levels, right?
No, yeah. Good morning, guys. I'm 1,000% on the same mindset as Jensen. These two teams are the best in the league, I think. And this whole week we've had this time to mull this series. I'm like, you know, one team's the better team, but like complete team, but Edmonton's got the two best players in the world. I keep going back and forth on this series. And when you don't really know for sure and you're getting picks from both sides, I think that's what you want. You want so much, not as a gambler, but as a fan, you want the uncertainty because this matchup is so intriguing and so tight. I mean, it went seven games last year, so you're getting everything you want, I think, as at least a fan of excitement of hockey.
Paul, when we look at some of the series player props, I know you have a couple of takes on perhaps most goals, most points, and we know that Connor McDavid coming in, most points already in these playoffs with 26. Handicap those markets for us and what you like.
Well, with the points one, I don't know how you wouldn't take Connor McDavid, even though it's what was it, plus 130, I think. But, I mean, it's almost a certainty. Like he gets points all day long. You know, if there's an assist prop too, I mean, he's going to have that one, you would think. But in terms of the goal scoring, that's the one that intrigues me a little more is, Sam Bennett leads the playoffs in scoring and goals. And yet he's, 11-1 down there. And then you have a guy for Edmonton, not even on this board for goals, with Corey Perry. Now, hey, he's 40 years old. You think he's done, but he's got 7 goals in the playoffs. He plays with McDavid and Dreisaitl often, and he sits in front of the net on the power play. He's going to kind of have that Zach Hyman role more and more now, the fact that Hyman is out for the playoffs. So Corey Perry's a sneaky guy for most goals for Edmonton. But for Florida, they do it as a group. But Sam Bennett's led them so far. So, with that value there, I like him as some if you take a flyer for most goals in the series.
Paul, do we keep it simple when it comes to the most points in market here for the entire series? Because I'm looking at it, and when you've got the usual suspects, as you mentioned here, the two best players in Dreisaitl and Connor McDavid, and those guys are averaging a point and a half per playoff contest here, do we keep it simple and look to those two guys? But if you want to go to the Florida side, do you go to Sasha Barkov and say, all right, maybe that's a guy that I might want to get involved in here in the points market?
Yeah, much like McDavid, he gets assists, right? And I think, he can get the second assist. He gets that a lot, their power play. So I think, that's how that's how they're 1-2-3 in the odds there. He does drive the train for them, but he's an all-around player. He's not just a points guy. Sam Reinhart's a guy that's pretty sneaky there too. Him and Barkov are the number one and two guys for the best defensive forwards in the league in voting, which is crazy, the top two guys, but they're both dynamic offensive guys. So Sam Reinhart's a sneaky little pick there, got injured a little bit, last series, but, he's a guy that, you pick up that second assist on the power play, right? And then he's all of a sudden he's got 5 points in the series. So he's a guy that I'd watch out for Florida too as well.
Paul, any other of those specific player markets that interest you? I know shots on goal might be one as well. Anything else that people, if they want to look for the series long ideas here, maybe not so much game to game, anything else that interests you as well?
I mean, I do like the Carter Verhaeghe is a shooter, he didn't have a great regular season for Florida, but he's a playoff guy. And I think that, when you win a cup and you have that long year, sometimes your juices don't fully come all the way back until the playoffs. I mean, they have for him, and he's a shot first guy. So for Florida, for me, you got Sam Bennett up there pretty high, but Carter Verhaeghe a little further down the rung there. better odds. I think he's a guy that you look at maybe for the Florida Panthers. And, you know, Evan Bouchard, you know, the defenseman for Edmonton, he shoots, he loves to shoot the Bouch bomb, right, they call it. And he, hey, look, a guy that's got a big shot, look, you take, you, when you played with guys that have big shots, they love to shoot it. So he's a guy that, you know, power plays become a thing in the series. That's a pretty good play because he'll get a lot of shots off.
Paul, let's get down to the brass tacks, because I know sometimes in the NFL you can go, and I've done this before, and it's worked to my advantage and it's worked against me. One time in particular, all right, I'm going to back Tom Brady and the Patriots against Nick Foles and the Eagles. I got to go with the best player, whether or not it's the best team. And, of course, we saw the Eagles win the Super Bowl. Last year, people were going, I got to bet Patrick Mahomes, because if I don't bet Mahomes, I'm going to kick myself when I wake up Monday and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. And, of course, we saw what happened there. McDavid is clearly the best player in the NHL. They do have home ice advantage in this series against Florida. Can you, if you want to back Edmonton, can you sleep at night saying, even if I lose, I'm betting on the absolute best player in the world, and I've got home ice advantage?
Yeah, oh, I just, man, Connor McDavid just seems like he's on a mission, and this team does. I think it's the loss last year, the revenge factor. Like, he doesn't say a whole lot in his interviews anyway, but even he's saying even less right now, because it just seems like he is on his laser focus on the Stanley Cup. And no, for me, the only X factor, I think, in this series from Edmonton not winning is goaltending. You know, if you're on paper right now, Florida's got the better goalie in Sergei Bobrovsky, but Skinner against Dallas played like a guy that should be there and should be talked about for Canada as one of their better goalies. If he continues that and just makes the basic saves. I mean, when they brought in Pickard in the playoffs, he was good. He just didn't give up that goal that would deflate your team. If Skinner doesn't do that, if he plays solid, I don't know how. I mean, I think just Edmonton is just a hair better, and has that, you know, chip on their shoulder of the loss last year. So in my Florida Panthers, whew, I mean, like I said, it's paper thin.
All right, Paul, got about 30 seconds left. Game one tonight. We're in Edmonton. We get both anthems. We get all the emotion. Who comes out a winner and gets the early advantage in the Stanley Cup final?
You know, I actually like the Florida Panthers tonight.
Wow.
You know, Edmonton's come out slow in a couple of series. If you look at it, they lost game one to Dallas, that weird game where Dallas scored five in the first. They were down 2-0 against L.A., so they lost game one a couple of times, whereas Florida's come out, you know, and done really well early. So I like Florida in game one to sneak, take a game. I don't think this is going to be a home road as much. These two teams are so experienced. I don't think it's going to have as much. Maybe at the end, if they get to a game seven, that would help Edmonton. But I actually like Florida tonight in the first game.
I might be looking that way as well, Paul, at plus $1.13 here. Maybe go zigzag. If that goes well for the guys from Florida tonight, north of the border. Paul, we appreciate it. We'll catch up again soon. Enjoy game one. We're finally here, the precipice of jumpstarting game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. And everybody, if you have not checked out sharpplays.com yet, you need to do it, because they're going to help you. You don't want to go up against these big books all by yourself, these professional bettors. Sharp Plays, they've got you covered. It's not an overnight startup. They've been around since 2011. They got receipts, public logs, and results right there on the site. That's why they're watched, feared, and respected. Check them out, sharpplays.com, trusted by the pros and watched by the books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back. Enjoyed that conversation with Paul Caponegri in the last segment, getting us ready for game one of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. You're going to be on the road again, going down to Chapel Hill on Friday. I just got a nice text from Mom and Dad. My Uncle Larry has made it down from D.C. watching the show, Jensen, enjoying our show. And all I know is this, and beloved Uncle, We can't talk politics in the house. So hopefully Mom, Dad, and Uncle Larry, they're just talking sports with us, Jensen. That's what we do in households across the country. So it's so great to hear that my Uncle Larry enjoying quality time with Mom and Dad over this beautiful Wednesday here. But because it's Wednesday, we always like to do this on Wednesday. It's time for With Wednesdays. For people new to this segment, Jensen, tell the people what you do on With Wednesday.
All right, so we usually try and target, yesterday being Torpedo Bat Tuesday, we usually try and target some hitter props, guys that have had some good, you know, track records against opposing pitchers or ideal hitting environments. Today we're going to do a little of both. We're going to give some pitching some love. So let's start with our leading lefties today, and there's some good ones, okay? Greg Peterson talked about handicapping that Washington and Chicago game, likes the Nationals on the money line. I also do like Mackenzie Gore today under his earned runs allowed. Matthew Boyd, will it be opposing him? You see the numbers if you're watching at VSiN.com, VSiN Watch app. Gore, all five home starts there at Nats Park, has allowed three runs or fewer. Matthew Boyd, five of his six road starts, he's allowed three runs or fewer. In Cincinnati, afternoon game there at Great American Ballpark, maybe has flown under the radar a big amount.
Yes.
I went back and checked this guy's game logs. Andrew Abbott.
Has been lights out.
Six consecutive starts. He's allowed one run or no runs. Are you kidding me? So here's how we're going to go. Mackenzie Gore, under 2.5 earned runs allowed. You find that at minus $1.40 on DraftKings. I found this shocking. And you know, maybe it'll be a sweat. Maybe it won't. Andrew Abbott, under 2.5 earned runs allowed at even money.
Woo.
So, hey, if you think the trend continues, that's a nice one to jump on. And then we'll do a little lottery ticket parlay here. Let's go Mackenzie Gore, Matthew Boyd, Andrew Abbott, all to have six or more strikeouts each. That's about a plus 539 payout right now. So a nice little sweat here to start with Wednesday for our leading lefties.
I like that lotto parlay, by the way. Can I ask you a little bit about Andrew Abbott? Because that has not flown below my radar as well. As you know, as much as I've been watching Reds baseball this year, how has he turned into, you know, I don't want to say the second coming of Cy Young here, but all of a sudden he looks dynamic. What's changed for him in your opinion?
Easy first part of the answer. He's healthy again. And for people that don't know the name, just a year or so ago when he broke into the league, the second half of that season, he was utterly untouchable coming into Major League Baseball. So a guy that they felt like they could rely upon a fair amount in that rotation. He has turned in quite a performance here in the last about 4 weeks.
I love the remember that's earned runs, people, that Jensen just gave out. So
right.
you're not going to get burned by an error here if that happens as well. But yeah, I love that play today, and I'm on the Reds today with Abbott on the bump here against a team that's been offensively challenged a little bit in Milwaukee. Let's get to it. A swing and a drive. What do you have today on Whiff Wednesday for some of the sluggers?
All right, a little homage to our great friend of the show, Tom Hamilton, one of my great friends here in Northeast Ohio. We have some guys that match up pretty well against some opposing starting pitchers today. Let's go to Jorge Soler with the Angels, who are just red hot these days. He gets Lucas Giolito in an afternoon affair at Fenway Park. 269 average, a couple of doubles, three home runs. Kyle Manzardo for the Guardians against Clark Schmidt, 3-for-5, a pair of homers in a limited sample. And then, hey, we've been loving on the Rockies.
Yeah.
Let's go find a Rockies hitter that can do some damage. How about Mickey Moniak, career against Cal Quantrill, 4-for-7, a double, two homers. Let's do a couple of things here. We'll do a very easy just to record a hit parlay. By the way, if you tailed ours yesterday, that one cashed as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jorge Soler and Kyle Manzardo to record a hit each. That's plus $1.42 on DraftKings. Mickey Moniak, two or more hits, runs, RBI, plus $1.25 on DK. Both our hits, runs, RBI for Jose Ramirez and Carlos Santana hit yesterday. We needed Carlos Santana in the ninth inning. So for you people who had the run line for the Yankees, I'm so sorry. To your detriment, it was our benefit. But that one was a fun sweat there late into that one.
Can you give me your best Tom Hamilton?
Oh, no, I can't right now. If I get my – let me get my voice back next week, and I certainly will do that.
Deal.
But he has the great Wisconsin accent, you know. And if you ever want to get – If you ever want to get sidetracked for about 15 minutes on college baseball and not get a word in,
yeah,
Hammy's your guy.
Really?
I mean, he's as up on it. He's as up on college baseball as any big league announcer that I know. Outside of one of my broadcast partners, Mike Farron, who I've been with the last couple of years for our regional coverage, does some great fill-in work with the Arizona Diamondbacks, but also mainstay on LME Network Radio, Channel 89 on Sirius XM. I can bring up at any time during the year anything about college baseball, and Hammy is right there. Oh, you know, I saw that. Okay, all right, I'm done for 10 minutes. Go ahead. What do you think?
I think it's one of the things that we love about baseball is you're going to get your, quote, homer broadcasters in your region, right? I think it endears people like Tom Hamilton to your area and your neck of the woods there. And I know growing up for me, it was Ralph Kiner. I love the Mets. I love listening to Ralph on the radio. You know, people are getting all over Reggie Miller for calling the Pacers game and then, you know, being there with the trophy after. Maybe that was a little bit much for Reggie, but there is a difference, right? And I get it. It's a national broadcast versus regional broadcast. But we do that does endear us to our local teams like a Tom Hamilton. Right?
No doubt.
Yeah.
It's so many great people. And you know this, when you travel through the Midwest, we're the news, man. We're
yes.
on every day and people have us on in the background, have us on in the establishment. So we're grateful for it. It helps put food on our table. So we love it.
Absolutely. Let's get to the last one today on Whiff Wednesday. And again, sometimes you get those breezes out there with some of these big swings and misses.
So free air conditioning has been a theme for us here mm-hmm. on the show. And I just happened to check, you know, some recent teams and performances. So the last 15 games, basically the last 2.5 weeks, here are your teams that have the most team strikeouts hitting wise. The Athletics lead it at the top. The Red Sox are second. And then you have a tie with the Rockies, the Tigers, interestingly enough, and the Angels. Now, Jose Soriano and Lucas Giolito, because the Red Sox and Angels play each other today, they're not big strikeout guys, Dave. So I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path here. Zebby Matthews has actually had a boatload of strikeouts. I just don't know if I would rather err on the side of strikeouts or outs. And so I went with the lesser of two evils here. You can get him over 15.5 outs right now on DraftKings at even money.
Mm-hmm.
And so in case the pitch count is too high and he doesn't get enough ABs to potentially get the strikeout number, I still think, and if you're doing the math, he just needs to go 5 1/3 there to be able to get that 16 outs or more. I think I'd rather err on the side of even money with that than maybe an elevated strikeout total.
By the way, don't look now. All right, you can look. The A's have become the A's again. Lost 9 of their last 10 again. They're 16 games under 500 here, dead last in the West. Only 4 more wins right now than the White Sox. And as a matter of fact, the Orioles and A's both have 23 wins, Jensen. Like, I thought there were signs of life from I almost said Oakland, from the A's.
I know.
Remember
I know.
The team with no name? Yeah. They have no home officially. You yep. can't even say Sacramento. Like, is this just getting back to where and why they are a vagabond franchise right now?
I think it's just one of those stretches, too. Yeah, we go through these as teams throughout every big league season. And right now, you know, the Athletics, I mean, remember they had that 10-11 game losing streak earlier. And it is so hard to rid yourself of those vibes. And you do everything you possibly can. When you keep losing like that, it just feels like you keep digging yourself a bigger hole. So, you know, Mark Kotze, as even keeled a dude as you can have leading that group. So hopefully they bounce back out of it, because there's a lot of talent on that team,
yeah.
especially for the future.
No doubt about that. A lot of talent when you come out here to Las Vegas, obviously. And if you have not checked out Circa, you need to do so, not just because that's where I'm broadcasting from here in Las Vegas, but it's a fantastic summer all-in package. So what do you get with it? For $400 for 2 nights, that all-in price includes your resort fees and your taxes for your 2 nights here. And that is not cheap, people. $100 dining credit to boot and $100 beverage credit. Oh, you want more? How about a day bed at Stadium Swim? So that goes all the way through September 4th when you go to CircleLasVegas.com. A fantastic all-in summer hotel package for 2 nights here at Circa. When we come back, news or noise will be next. boy, if you're waking up today in Illinois, you're going, why does it cost this to place a wager? We'll discuss the legalities of sports betting going on right now. That is next here on News or Noise.